Like a soldier of the cross. Oh God, Lord, we get in line. We take up our position. We report for duty and service tonight. Hallelujah, taking our rank and file. We buckle up the armor tight tonight, Lord. Oh God, as we approach your great presence, you are a great five-star general. Blessed be your wonderful name tonight. Oh God, may we get in step, Lord. Proud we display the blood of Jesus Christ on our chest, the message of the hour, marching in step to the sound of the gospel. Oh, wonderful Jesus, blessed be your name tonight. We thank you, Lord. What a feeling it is, Lord, to come into your courts tonight, to come into your house, to come into your great presence. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands and give him praise. Give him glory. Be a real soldier tonight. Respond to the trumpet. Hallelujah. The trumpet sound is ringing out. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God in the highest. Call the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, let every soldier be strong and courageous tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Ready to fight. Willing to die, Lord. Is there not a cause tonight? Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be his name. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how good it is, Father. Lord, to come into your house to sing the battle songs, to get in step, to get under the inspiration of the blessed Holy Spirit, to remind ourselves we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We are not looking at how our flesh feels. We are looking at what your word says, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, how many, many, many times Satan has caused us to fall and stumble, Lord, wandering in the dark because we fail to look at what your word says concerning us. Make us go on a feeling, Lord. Make us go on some, Lord, thing, Lord, that where we fail you or something. Put some doubt in our mind because of some mistake. But tonight we come, dear God, hallelujah, standing upon the ground of your word. Oh, God, and as we take our stand upon your word, Lord, Lord, in prayer, in supplication, in perseverance, praying always in the spirit, hallelujah. Oh, God, looking unto you, knowing, oh God, you've already fought the battle, you've already won the victory. Hallelujah. And because you've conquered, Lord God, we will conquer also. So, Father, tonight, as we gather in from the east and the west, the north and the south, as we come into your house, lifting up holy hands, making prayer unto you, dear God, we are so thankful that you give us this privilege, dear God, to come and gather tonight again. Oh God, where you are a great general, our great captain, can come and give us holy instructions. Instructions for the battle, oh God. Knowing you are now come as the captain of the Lord hosts. Glory be to God in the highest. Knowing that now is possession time. Oh God, may the anointing of your spirit, Lord, move from heart to heart tonight. May the Spirit of God quicken every soul here, dear God. Quicken them, oh God, to recognize your divine presence. Quicken them, oh God, to be reminded of the words where you said, only be thou strong and be thou very courageous. Have not I commanded thee? The Lord thy God will be with thee whithersoever thou goest, and no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Have not I commanded thee? Oh, God, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Oh, God, what words of assurance tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Take full charge in this service. Lead and guide us. Oh God, tonight in all that be said and done, and thou knowest every need of this, we are persuaded. Thou knowest every need, and we are even more persuaded that thou art able to meet every need according to thy riches and glory, because thou art faithful and because thou hast promised, and you keep all your promises, Lord. So I pray, dear God, tonight, even as we enter into the Spirit, into that only provided place, into that place where we can be so linked up with omnipotence, God, may every heart be open to thy divine inspiration. And I pray, Lord, as each and every one would have need, thy Holy Spirit would minister unto them, that at the end of this service, when they leave this place, they can leave with a blessed assurance, they can leave with a divine satisfaction deep down on the inside, to know that you are God who responds to the faith of thy believing children. You are a prayer answering God. You are not I will be or I was. You are I am that I am. Present here, Lord, in our midst tonight. To do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. So I pray through these things, Lord, hearts will be encouraged to exercise in the God-given faith that you have given unto each and every one. For we know that this is the victory that overcometh this world. And here cometh unto you, must first believe that you are, and that you are a reward of them who diligently seek you. So, dear God, may true faith tonight, Lord, there be not one left out, but everyone be linked up to the great Holy Spirit who is here for this very purpose. For he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. And if two shall agree as upon touching anything, it shall be done. Oh God, this is the provided way, this is the provided channel, this is the provisions that thou hast made and the way that thou hast arranged the affairs of thy kingdom, that you will come and you will minister to the needs of thy people when you appoint the time and the place for them to gather together. For he said, forsake not the assembly of yourself. Much more we see that they're approaching. So dear God, may they know that even sitting here tonight has been arranged before the foundation of the world. But oh God, we can receive what we have need, and to know that you know what we have need of, Father. May we not worry. May we not just, Lord, be tossed about to and fro. But may we know, dear God, what we have need. Let's come, Lord. Oh God, believing, expecting. Knowing we shall go receiving. May we, Lord God, have this confidence tonight as we approach your throne of grace. Knowing we shall find grace to help us in this time of need. We love you, Father. You're so great, you're so mighty, you're so all powerful. You think of everything. Hallelujah! You know how just to work it in the fashion that you work it in. That when we recognize the working of the Spirit of God inspires faith, it gives confidence. Oh God, because you do it in such a way that only you can do it in that manner. We thank you for these things, Lord. You think of everything. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh Father, we have your way amongst us. We wait upon thee for all things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Glad to have you in this house. I'd like to invite your attention to St. Luke chapter 11, where we'd like to read from tonight. Trying to pick up on Sunday morning and barely even got started. And just trust and make few messages to help make some of these things plain, and we're going to revise a little and go on a little, just in whatever way God will have us to go. Amen. Because we believe that if it could strike us right, we could see what God has done, what He's doing, and to bring us into harmony with Him, we wouldn't have to struggle. It's not by might or by power, by His Spirit. Be confident that He will begin the work in you, will perform it even till that day. It's all according to His plan. He has already made provisions for these things. He just wants us to cooperate with His Word. St. Luke 11, we'll read from verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spoke. So the Bible says it's a devil. Is that right? Medical science might say something else. The Bible calls it, say it was a devil. And the people wondered, they marveled. And some of them said, he casted out devils to Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. My, isn't that a shame? People seeing the supernatural operating right amongst them, religious people, and just so stiff in the neck and resisting what God is doing before they give God praise for it. Before they glorify him as God. They say he's doing it through the devil. And others, tempting him or testing him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, I like the word is quick and sharp and powerful. It's a discerner of thoughts. He, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Now you watch that now. Whenever he speaks, what he says is truth. And it goes deeper than it appears on the surface many times. That's the infinite mind speaking. That's the supreme intelligence. That's God in flesh. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. Whenever you see the word written in italics like that, like divided there, is a word supplied by the translators to give the to bring out the sense of their text. That's why you see it's written different to the other letters. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Is Satan's kingdom going to fall? It is going to fall. You know why? Because it divided against itself. Exactly. See? Because you say that I cast out devils to Beelzebub, and I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? See, they will cast no devils to me. Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. And get this now. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor in which he trusted and divided his spoils. When a stronger than he shall come. You see, because a stronger than that one that was here. That's why he said the kingdom of God has come upon you. Here was one who cast out devils by the finger of God. Here he was one that was breaking the power of the enemy along the lives of the people, where they were bound for all them years, and that church tradition and denominational teaching that they had couldn't really bring the kind of deliverance that the word in flesh was bringing. See, the Son of Man was being revealed amongst them. The very kingdom was there. But they were looking for it by observation. But if a man was born of water and spirit, he couldn't see that kingdom. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house from which I came out. You know, if that passage was in the Bible, we would never understand demonology. Because Jesus The one who was doing battle against the principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness. The one who, by the finger of God, would cast out them devils and break the power. Is revealing the activity in the unseen realm. When they leave a person after he drives them out of a house. But God didn't want us to be ignorant of what takes place in the unseen realm and how the enemy that we are up against operates. Because you're wrestling not against flesh and blood. So he opens up here this great truth. He says, he said, I'll return unto my house in which I came up. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. All looking clean and nice and well dressed and everything. And, you know, the new Bible and everything. And going to church and, you know, and singing the songs and, you know, conventions and everything else. A lot of religious activities, singing specials and doing a lot of nice things. Because it's all swept and garnished now. The house is not occupied by the former tenant. So some house cleaning was done. But there is no new tenant. So when he comes, all he finds the house, the same old house, just swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And this is so wonderful because if Jesus didn't say this either, we wouldn't know why a man who has lived so clean, separate from things of the world, come to church. Why a woman who would change up her life and sing and fall on the power of God and cry and worship God and don't paint her face and stand on different things and then go right back after a while. A man go back after a while and get worse than they was before when they came. How many of those I've seen passed in this church over the years? That even people in the church get confused when people who sat here for years and years and years go back out. And before you know it, they are in a worse state at the last than the first. But you are not left without spiritual understanding because the Bible here, the very words of Jesus Christ reveals what takes place to bring the person in that condition. Then go out here and take it to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. Isn't that strong words? Enter in and dwell there. You ever see a people moving in a house that they're going to rent? You see a big truck park up. But then they bring their stove, they bring their fridge, they bring their furniture, they bring their clothes, the children bring their toys, they bring everything. And they're moving lock, stock, and barrel. Sure. They even celebrate and have a little party or something. That they come in this new home, new neighborhood. I tell you. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breast which nursed thee. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. I tell you, Jesus is very, he can even rebut someone. He was just looking for no praise and that kind of thing like that, you know. He know what he was saying. He know serious what he was saying was. But somebody didn't get and choose, boy, and they want to give him some glory. That is a tremendous thought. He said, yeah, but what about keeping it? Not just getting under the stimulation. What about taking and keeping it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Let your word be real. Let it be simple. Let it be clear. Let it be instructive to our hearts and lives. That through hearing it and receiving it, dear God, we can find new strength to rise above the powers of darkness and to walk in victory and to live in the power of the Spirit. Grant it, Lord. Then truly in that state, we can really serve you and be true witnesses of thee in this hour. We pray that you'll help us tonight as we wait upon thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. Have a seat. I want to take for a subject tonight, the kingdom of God has come upon thee. Jesus said, if you see these things happening, I want to take for a subject, as stronger than the accuser has come. Amen. When a stronger than he has come, you're going to see that strong one spoiling his goods. Amen. Let's do the Revelation 12. Just to pick up a backup scripture there. And remember, I'm in Ephesians and Joshua. But I'm just spreading out to bring to light what is really contained in there. We might be 45 in this hour for the battle. Revelation 12, verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So what a tremendous picture we just had there in St. Luke, because here was the same one who fought. Because in Luke 10, just before Luke 11, he says, I beheld Satan fell like lightning from heaven. Is that right? And here in Revelation 12, as John by vision looks at this, he sees how the place was not found in heaven. But look in Luke 11, how we saw the one who was fighting there against them before he became flesh. When he became flesh, when God was incarnate and walked the face of the earth, he was still doing battle now with these fallen demons, because now they was in the humanistic realm. Many of them was in the realm of flesh. But when he came there, he drove them out. He cast out them devils out of flesh. The same way he cast them out of heaven. So the same battle is still going on tonight. Verse 8. And prevail not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Verse 9. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. Does that mean Methodist? Does that mean Baptist? Does that mean Pentecostals and Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses? Sure it does. Exactly what it means. The whole world. For Revelation 13 it says, and all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall worship the devil, the beast. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, and he will sit in the temple as God, being worshipped as God. Is that right? Yes. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, and he had blinded the minds of the people from this gospel. Yes. If this gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And not just a denominational gospel, the original gospel. Yes. Paul's gospel. Yes. The faith of the fathers. Yes. Amen. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Now it is comforting. It is Jesus. When the Son of Man was being revealed, when God and man was in a union, he said, the kingdom of God is come upon you. When he that is stronger shall come, what he will do with that other one? She said, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, his anointed word. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. The kingdom of God is come, and they are overcomers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And the only one who can testify is one who is a witness. One who has seen, one who experienced something. So these people we are talking about is they who are witnesses. They who have received a true testimony. They who know the power of the blood. Because they experienced the deliverance that the power of that blood brought. They walked in the light and the blood had cleansed them from all unbelief. And look at this too. And they love not their lives unto the death. Amen. Amen? And I want to take one more scripture, that Joshua 5. See, I want to get Joshua 5 in there, because that one who is come, the power of that Christ, that one who is here, that one who he says, speak of as Revelation 10:1, where it is revealed to the believer that he is come down. And we know who he is. That is the revelation his church is built upon, who he is, why he has come. Joshua chapter 5, taking an Old Testament reference of one of his coming in a particular season. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, a man with his sword drawn in his hand. Man was ready for battle. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. When John fell down to worship an angel in the Bible once, that angel was a man, but that man was a prophet, and he said, don't worship me. Remember when Cornelius fell down to worship? Peter says, I'm just a man like you. Don't worship me, worship God. But when that blind man fell down to worship Jesus, he never stopped the man. And the Jews got vexed because they said, this is a man making himself God, receiving worship. But that was God in the form of a man. And when this one who came there and Joshua bowed down to worship him, he didn't say, don't worship me. He received worship from him. And Joshua would not worship a man if he didn't know that man was God himself, who has now come. Now you see, we read the record for him, but he saw a man, but he got a revelation. He worshiped, he could only worship by revelation. You see, those are the things we miss in scripture. But those are the things that makes the text what it is and give it reason for being recorded. That it might be for inspiration, instruction. It might be for doctrine, for reproof. It might be for examples. Amen. That we might know he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's put there for a purpose. And the captain of the Lord host. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, what sayest my Lord unto his servant? Like Paul when he saw a pillar of fire. He said, what will thou have me to do, Lord? And the captain of the Lord host said unto Joshua, loose the shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Just what he told Moses on the mountain. When he came burning in a bush, but now he came in the form of a man. Praise his wonderful name. That one who had come was the power that was going to bring victory over the enemy. That one who had come was the very strength to fight the battle. Now it comes out. That one who had come was the very salvation, the deliverance, the full redemption that was promised them while they were brought into that land. He was the one who was going to bring it to pass. That very one who had come there was the finisher, who was the very author, who had sent that prophet, who had took them out to Egypt, but now he was bringing them into. He who had brought them out of was now bringing them into. And when he came to do it, he had to make himself known to them that he was there and their purpose why he came. When Jesus went in the temple and took the book, he looked for a certain place to read in Luke 4. It is written. He was given the book of Isaiah the prophet. And we find that he turned to a particular place and he identified to them, this day is this scripture fulfilling your ears. Because he had an objective to let them know who was there in their midst. Amen. And why he had come and what was available unto them. So a channel can be opened up to them who had certain needs, that they might be able to receive what they had need of. It's God's way to give unto us, to supply unto us what we have need of. How many have a special need in here tonight? You want him to do something for you? Well, he has a way to bring it to you. And when you see the same God working with the same kind of people in the same kind of hour, under the same kind of conditions, that is what gives them faith, because they see he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He is God who changeth not. Then they recognize that God never leaves the pattern of his word. And they know heaven will pass away, but their word will never pass away. And when they see what they are looking at, it is the very word expressed. It is the word being made manifest. It is the scripture becoming alive again before their eyes by spiritual discernment through the grace of the Holy Spirit, anointing their eyes, opening their eyes to see. Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood couldn't reveal it to you. It is grace dropping down into his heart to give him spiritual discernment, to look beyond the realm of flesh, to recognize a word coming to pass in simplicity, standing right there with dust on his clothes, had no beauty or no form that they should desire, but yet you can see that the power, that the living Christ standing there, that the promise coming to pass. And that's the realm where his kingdom is being established. That is the realm where his kingdom is being revealed. That is the realm where the power of God operates. And that is where God wants to bring his church. God's purpose. God has worked with his church in a past age when they didn't even have understanding. When the seven seals were not even open. When the hidden mysteries of the Bible were not yet revealed. Because the seventh angel had not yet come. Yet God worked in signs and wonders and did great things. When people didn't have understanding many times how to really get into the supernatural, grace come down. And God winked at ignorance. But God don't want to keep on working with the church in ignorance that's doing things. That's why God has been revealing truth. The spirit of truth leading and guiding to all truth. So in this hour, what was in part shall be done away, because that which is perfect is come. And everything shall be established upon their basis and their principle of his revealed truth. And it's tremendous for the believer who desires that. Because they walk with God in a relationship. They don't just go to church. They don't just do religious things.
They don't want to get involved in religious practices and get busy with religious activities. God begins to minister to them. God begins to reveal himself to them. God begins to train them by his spirit and his word. God begins to mold them and shape them. God begin to restore them. God begin to build back his image within them. God begin to bring them, amen, back into oneness with himself. And they realize that is so far greater than a man-made program. That is so far greater than an institution. Amen. A religious institution established on man-made education, man-made ideas. That's the kingdom of God being revealed. That's the promise of God coming to pass. And when God allows the believers to catch that by revelation, and the Holy Spirit burns that into their heart, then they know my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Amen! God let them look past the veil. God give hidden revelation to them where they catch a glimpse of deity, of omnipotence, where they know God is not dead, God is still alive. God quickened the scriptures in the Bible where they know this thing is as real as it ever was. That word has never diminished. That God has never lost any of his ability. That God is not suffering from amnesia. Present, ready, able, and willing to move with anyone who would surrender their heart in humility and take him at his word to prove that he is still the same, does the same, and will never leave this world because he and his word is one. Sometimes people hold on to truth that is not vindicated. Sometimes they hold on to explanations explained by religious minds, students of theology. Sometimes they think it's an authority because they have been impressed by a certain organization and its religious structure. They've been impressed by worldwide evangelism. They've been impressed by its books and the image that it puts out to the public. And they figure, well, that has to be of God. Jehovah's Witnesses have so much places around the world. They have so much ministers. They have so much books of learning. They have so much different things of, you know, in the emphatic dialogue and the Greek translation of the Bible and all the different things that they have. And they seem like they're so sure of all the explanation of the words. Then the Seventh-day Adventists have all the different things in the learning and the hospitals and all that they do. And then the Catholic Church outdoes them both. And then the Pentecostals, you know, growing there with the evangelism and the glossolalia and these things. And sometimes those things impresses the human mind. And he who is the Word still has no form, no comeliness, still has no beauty that they should desire him. The whitened sepulchres filled with dead men's bones still appear to be more pious and more religious. But yet God has such a way to bring men and women into an experience. To bring them face to face with reality. When the power of that word strike that soul and ignite that faith resident within them. And that word, that spirit quickening word begins to ignite that faith and charge them in the soul that the things that they might have struggled with or tried to alter the standard to accept or maybe figure God don't mind that today because it's a different type of day and different things. All of that begins to vanish away. And they realize that there's a reality about God. Amen. Hallelujah! that you can't join, you can't be educated into, you can't be schooled into you. It still comes by old-fashioned born-again experience, where men become new creations in Christ, and old things pass away, and all things become new. And if you have not had that, my friend, my brother, my sister tonight, that is what you need to become a Bible Christian. If you have not that, this world will just be school and education to you and learning. But if it becomes a practical working in your own life, to become a personalized experience, to see the prophecies prophesied for this hour coming to pass in your daily life, in your experience, that makes you walk with Him daily and live under expectations, where something drives you and pushes you on, that's a reality that only a believer who is in union with Him knows about. He don't care whether when he comes to church, he's the only one in church. He worship God in spirit. They have their circumcising heart. Glory be to God. Amen. He's not discouraged whether the church is many or the church is few, because that don't give him power to begin with. That is good to have fellowship. Amen. But his power comes from a union with Christ, who is his head. Amen. He's not the one who tried to run and hide from an experience of dying daily, or see this life as being burdensome, and think that maybe it's just a life of gaiety and pleasure. Is one who knows that righteous men are molded, and saints and sinners are molded into the image of God in those fiery trials. And that is God's way of making flesh become word. And they don't think it's strange when they fall into diverse temptations. You know, the test of their faith will get patience. You know, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope that make it not to be ashamed, and the love of God shall have brought in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. They don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials, as though some strange things happen to them. Amen. They know it's more precious to them than gold that perishes. Glory! You know, character is never made without suffering. Because God has brought them through the divine channel. God has brought them through the provided way, where God has shown them they didn't choose Him. He has chosen them. You have not chosen me. It's I who have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. All that the Father had given me will come, and no man can come to me except my Father draw him first. And because they are coming that way, and they know that they were accepted in the Beloved before the foundation of the world, they know it's not by might, but by power. It's not Him that will it, or Him that run it. Amen. They learn just to yield and surrender. Amen. Because they have learned to trust in God's all-sufficient grace, that He will not fail them. They are His workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. Whether it take persecution, whether it take suffering, whether it take death for some, whatever it takes. Amen. They live for the other life. Amen. That is where the treasures are, just beyond that mountain. It's across the river, across the bridge, where there's no more sorrow. They don't try to stop treasures here where thieves could break through and steal, like Lot. Stop all his treasures right here. And when the kings of the earth came, they broke through and they took Lot captive and they stole all his treasures. Had it been for Abraham to recover his treasures back to him, and then he still ended up losing his treasures again. But Abraham was looking for a city whose make and builder was God. Hallelujah! Amen! Glory! He had caught a heavenly vision, and he wasn't disobedient to that heavenly vision, because he was linked up with the heavenly one. Glory. And whether it was business, whether it was social life, wanting to have children, or business to dig the wells, to water the cattle, or military strategy to fight a battle, or prophecy, or the capacity to receive revelation from God, or the spirit to pray and intercede for the lost. In whatever department, in whatever sphere his life went, he was endued from that one who to him was Melchizedek and El Shaddai and Elohim. Amen! Glory! Jehovah Jireh, who was revealing himself in so many different ways to show him that he was all sufficient.
And that was to Abraham and to Abraham's seed after him. And we become Abraham's seed by being in Christ, by having the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And heirs of the same promises. So my brother, my sister tonight, when we look at this reality that we are speaking about, this channel that we are trying to open up and look at here, it is God, by His Holy Spirit, giving a revelation that quickens to His children in the day that they're living in, that He has come on the scene. He is here. When He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, He had to come to every age to give that promise to. Is that right? The Holy Ghost has been here in every age since Pentecost. Amen! Leading His church, anointing His church to possess the gates of their enemies at every junction, at every age. Whatever the anointing was, it was God anointing them. Whatever the challenge was, it was God doing battle with the enemy, giving them faith to possess the gate of the enemy and to win the victory. Because every age had overcomers. Glory! And here in this age is a different kind of battle. We don't have to walk in an arena. We're not being hunted down, as it were, had to hide in caverns and caves and different places to hide from the authorities who would want to maybe destroy this religion with state power. The prisons and these things. But that time is going to come back. But the bride will go. Amen. Yes, sir. So here, our battle is in the spiritual realm. It's a spiritual battle. It's a different type of day. It is so religious. It's a day when something is happening in the world that it can only be uncovered by the Holy Spirit and understood by divine revelation. What has happened in the last few years to humanity upon the face of the earth? People think they know what is going on. People look at the end, they were so terrified with the Gulf War. They use the media and get everybody scared. What is going to happen to the world if this madman takes over? The Bible had already said that madman could never take over. But when people don't know the word, they get terrified over the wrong things. There's only four kingdoms. Is that right? Amen. They were terrified when Hitler was going to take over. Bible never said Germany was going to be a world power. They were terrified when Napoleon was going. But the Bible never said Napoleon was going to be a world power. It's Babylon, Medes and Persia, Greece, and Rome. Amen. And then the kingdom of the God of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah! The rest. Blessed be the name of my rock. Hallelujah! Whose kingdom is going to have great kingdom and fill all the earth. But you see, people can manipulate people. And people can work people up into different spirits. And people can spread fear like an epidemic. And sweep through the minds of people and make them lose the stability and disturb the peace. If it don't really come from a revelation of God's word. But Jesus knows that the kind He's going to give His church, the gates of hell, will not be able to prevail against it. And that's the kind you are contending for. That's why the Bible says, earnestly contend for the faith. Not any faith. The one that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. When you look and you see how those things moving in the air, they had failed. They become blind. Looking at the wrong battle. Looking at the wrong realm. And through the fears that they incurred, they lead them into captivity. Because
The very thing that blinded them in such a way that from blindness it led them straight into captivity. But to the real believer whose eyes are anointed, we know the battle is not against flesh and blood. The Bible in Ephesians 6, if we took it Sunday morning, is against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And Paul wasn't just using terminology just in an irresponsible way. He was consciously and clearly breaking down the structure of Satan's organized kingdom and how it operates upon the face of the earth. And he was drawing his inspiration from the Bible. Amen. Because he was a word prophet. Amen. You believe Paul was a word prophet? Amen. You see, if any man think he's spiritual or prophet, let him acknowledge that the commandments of God came unto him. He said, what came the word of God out of you or came it to you? He said, I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. In what way he operated was it different to any Old Testament prophet? He was a seer. He was translated. Caught up into heaven. He saw visions. He raised the dead. Had signs and wonders. Spoke to an age. Brought the word. Took the gospel into hidden lands. They didn't know nothing about the name of Jesus or Christ or anything. Amen. Steeped in idolatry. Amen. And brought it back to the cross. Amen. And proved that this one promised in the Jewish scriptures had come. Amen. And was turning the whole Gentile world to come and receive that as the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Oh, sometimes we fail to see the magnitude of our office, of a place, of a position that God give a man to walk in, and yet the man can have such humility and say, I'm chiefest of sinners, least of the saints, least of the apostles. Amen. Amen. But it didn't mean he was blind and confused as to what his position was. He said, I magnify my office. When he was challenged upon it, he said, that this grace give me a dispensation of grace that I may make all men see the mystery of this fellowship. Of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Can you say, you Gentiles? Oh my. And brothers, as we break in here tonight to see that Jesus was telling Jews something. You know, people that could be so religious that they fail to see the word operating. They lack spiritual discernment. And here was the word in the midst. And he was teaching, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. So my mom's gonna be born of water and spirit. Another time come, it don't come by observation. It's not gonna come by man sitting on the end. Look at the sky and look at this, look at the rain, look at the weather, and looking at all these different things to say the kingdom of God is coming. No. And when he announced to them, he says, look, he was casting all these devils, and they was kind of upset. And they challenged him a point, and he says, he cast out devils by Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. That is his name. Because it was revealed, become part of the word, that the chief of the devils' name is Beelzebub. Prince of the devil. Now, as we look at the scripture, you see, this great kingdom that is existing on the earth, where the scripture said, now is come the kingdom of our God. Now it's come, not in its external form yet, but in its spiritual power is being revealed. That's why we who are subjects of that kingdom is catching a revelation by the new birth that the king is here. The very King Theophany Jesus, the very one who is going to reign in the millennium, who is going to reign in new heavens and new earth, is already here. Amen. In the form of the Holy Ghost. Because it's not three gods, it's the same person. Amen. God above us, God with us, and God in us. Amen. Amen. This great mystery of Melchizedek, this king of the heavenly Jerusalem, whose name is called King of what? Righteousness. But that's what it means. Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And then he was King of Potiphar's. By interpretation, first King of Righteousness, and then King of Salem, which is King of Peace. You're watching the Bible, righteousness and peace, they always go together. Because his righteousness imputed unto us. When we were justified, when we were legally and formally acquitted from guilt, and being justified by faith, being declared righteous, we have peace with God. You're going to pick it up maybe sometime. I assure you, it always comes from the Bible like that. Righteousness first and then peace. And in the millennium it'll be what? Righteousness be established in the earth. And we have 1,000 years of peace. And here Melchizedek, this one, being revealed to Abraham. And now Abraham's seed is catching the same revelation of this Melchizedek. Because it's tied right there at the communion. After the battle was over, after the victory was won, after the fallen brethren was restored and delivered. And the battle's going on now. That's the battle we're dealing with. Because we are fighting those battles of life right now. And after that battle is over, because these battles are being waged for principle. Then to meet Melchizedek. But look, Abraham, Joshua, Moses, they all have to receive a revelation that God had come down for something. Peter had a revelation right there that was God coming down for something. God being made flesh, God above us had condescended and was with us. He had come to take them out in the Exodus. He had come to bring them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus revealing to these people that the kingdom of God was come upon them. But they could not see it. They looked at him and they were seeing Beelzebub. They were seeing divine power in operation. And they couldn't even discern that was the divine power of Almighty God in operation right there before their eyes. They thought it was demon power. People can be so religious and yet so blind. Yet lack that spiritual discernment. Because it's a different realm to reading. When you come and have to look with your own eyes. And what do you see when you look? They're going to take something on the inside. Something beyond the mind. It's going to take representation. It's going to take something that you can link up with. Because that is supernatural. You are part of that supernatural. That is the God and you are the attribute of that God. That is the great magnet and you are magnetized to that magnet. And that is why sometimes believers, like Rebecca when she met the servant, she said, I will go. Like Elisha, when the mantle was over him, he said, the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'll not leave nor forsake thee. Why? Because something is magnetized and there's a magnetic pull. Though they may not understand everything, they know I'll not leave that. Oh, I haven't felt like this for a long while, you see. There's a reality to me, amen. This seems to be the answer to all my troubles, amen. When this is not wrong, I feel a peace. I feel an assurance. I feel settled, amen. Glory! There's something about the presence of God that brings faith in the heart of a believer. Amen! No matter what kind of trial is, when he comes, amen, it seems to get a courage and a peace. Well, I feel it tonight because I know he's here. I hope you can see him and recognize him. You see, he's young waiting on him, you see. Like some electronic media or something here, I'm here waiting on him. I go as he goes. I wait upon him to speak the right word. Because not so much to let you know how much I know is to try to help his poor, sick, suffering children to have faith in this hour. That they can be overcomers in this battle. Amen. Hallelujah! Now is come salvation. Let me tell you, the salvation that has come and been revealed in this world is as complete as it can ever be. There isn't a word to come to improve upon the word that we have received in this age. It is the promise that was going to unveil him completely in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin the song, the mystery of God should be finished. In that day when the Son of Man shall be revealed, Elias truly shall come and restore all things. Amen. Power. There is no greater power, because the power that spoke this universe into existence was demonstrated through this revealed word. There is no greater power than that to come, because the power was the very one who is the salvation himself. In him is both power, and he's that very salvation. Is that right? And that word, the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Is the word made spirit, and I got to let the kill it from. That's what I'm trying to get you away from. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to challenge your faith to walk out of that intellectual realm. You will presume there the rest of your life. But to bring you to a place where you can handle the word of God. Where you can know his reality and his power. Not by imagination, but by real experience and revelation in your own life. Amen. Now look. Jesus says Satan has a kingdom. He says, if Satan's kingdom is divided, it's going to fall. Does this Bible declare that Satan's kingdom is going to fall? Yeah. You know, that right there is a future event, friend. But if anything you believe in this world that is present and was past, you'll have to believe that it's future in order to believe the whole world. You understand what I'm saying? This Bible is one revelation of one person. So you believe that he was above us back in the Old Testament. That he sent Moses and he spoke to Elijah and he spoke to Jeremiah and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he came back as the Holy Spirit in his day. And then don't believe the second coming and don't believe the millennium and don't believe the new heaven, new earth. Then what has it done to you to believe what was past and part of what is happening now? Is that going to do no good? So here's my point then. We see in Revelation 20, there's one that came. Bible says, a strong angel came down. Verse 1 to 3. With a chain in his hand, and he bound the devil, that old serpent, and shut him up in a pit for 1,000 years to bring peace on the earth. Even the one angel did that. Is that some power the kingdom of God is going to get down the road? Or is that some power the kingdom of God has now? Just think of it in these terms. If there is some power the kingdom of God has now, then he's only letting the devil do what the devil is doing. Because if he has it now, he can bind him now. But it's not according to his program to bind him now. Is that right? And this great organized kingdom that Satan is going to become the God of this world and rule over it, how will it fall? Doesn't Revelation 17 says, and these 10 kings give the strength and power to the beast? Is that right? And these all agree in one mind? And then it says, and God will put in their heart to hit their heart and burn out with fire? That they're going to destroy their own selves? Sure.
Because divided, it's going to fall. So all this kingdom is built over 6,000 years to become the God of it. It's going to fall. Why? Because it's divided. Because the unity is based on politics. The unity is based on compromise. In religion. The unity is based on finances. Because the Catholic, the Protestants will never become Catholics. They'll only give their support to it. The communists give the support right now because they're broken economically. Yeah. But God will turn around and dare the tool in God's hand. They stick off. Yeah. He's going to reap the harvest of the earth with. That's the symbol of communism. So when you look and you see this kingdom is so great and powerful, it shall fall. Because when Jesus was speaking here, he knew that Satan is a king over a kingdom. Satan offered him the kingdom of this world and he refused. Is that right? In Matthew 4, Jesus was offered the kingdoms of this world. Now look, Satan has a kingdom. He says that here. It's in Luke, as you read. And in Ephesians 6, Paul begins to break down that kingdom to us. And he begins to let us see what we wrestle against. Sure, we have little kind of demons that people have here and different things. A little precious. But the church of the living God, that was conceived in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, that is expressed here on the earth, that is God's, the expression of God's wisdom, of God's glory, of God's power. That's what the church is. This whole mystery is about those who was chosen in him before the foundation of the world, being expressed down through his years. His good purpose of redemption. And he conceived that church for a purpose. And then the hour when he and that church is becoming one. And when time is blending with eternity in this age, when we are getting ready to step back into the kingdom of God to be reestablished on the earth, when this whole world is falling apart, when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ, when all these great revelations like the seven seals being opened, and in an age like this age, people can begin by spiritual discernment and revelation to know that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. And identify where that name is written, when it could not be done in no age before. Yeah. They knew it was there, they knew the believers, they knew they had the evidence of God, but now, in this age, they can look in there and know, there is where he spoke of us. When they hear the stories mommy and daddy tell, how this happened, that happened, and so, they just smile. They know all that had to work because God had his word spoken here. Like Mary, she said, boy, that night when Herod was coming to kill them children, and you know, so much babies die. Joseph got a dream there, and we went out quickly. We hid in Egypt for a while. Herod died. We came back out. Different things happened. He could smile because he knew who he was in the world. And the divine providence that overruled all them things. So that he could come with that ministry in that hour. He understood it. And that will happen to a believer. That is why these things were given. You see, when we receive it the right way, we can use it the right way. It benefits us for the right purpose. But if we just receive it on a natural level, then we know it, then the conditions come, then we have no inspiration. Why? We relate to it as a doctrine, as a learning, as something we educated in. But then it is God, that God uncovering our lives to give us faith, because He has put us here in this hour for a definite purpose. Now look how organized this kingdom is. The Bible shows, it says, now is the accuser cast down. You mean to say there's going to come a time when a people will stand with total justification? There'll be no condemnation? That's not in the tribulation period somewhere down the road. The spiritual revelation, the spiritual power, the experience to put the church into a rapturing condition. How was she supposed to get into it? These divinely revealed mystery truths contained in the seven seals were literally. You see what is written in Revelation 12? Don't get confused intellectually. When that seventh angel began to sing Revelation 10, he reveals things that was, is, and is to come. The entire Bible is revealed in that song then. Things past, present, and future, the whole counsel of God is made known. Amen. It's made known right there to the believer. Because as long as that accuser is there, you see, devil, the word devil means accuser. Satan is adversary. But he's Lucifer. From Lucifer, he was the anointed cherub. But then the anointed cherub became Satan. When he rebelled against God, when he chose his own will instead of God's will. Because he was a free moral agent. And he chose his own will instead of submitting to the will of God. And then he became the adversary. The opposer. But then from that, he goes on and is called the devil. Which means the accuser. And that is how he paralyzes faith. That's how he weakens believers. That's how he holds them in fear and doubt. That's where his real power is now. He works through bluff, through fear, through doubt, through reasonings. That's what about they're pulling down the strongholds of reason and imaginations and bringing the captivity. Amen. Every talk to the word of God with a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Why? Because you as a believer, you understand this one now. The realm that is working now. Wisdom is coming to wisdom. Trying to express itself as a higher knowledge. Hold them in the mental realm by intellectual power. Keep them scientific. Always wanting an explanation. Always wanting some form of, you know, thing from that realm. Can't seem to believe things that they can't see. Can't seem to believe things that they can't feel. But God, by revelation, puts the believer into a realm where they can believe. Amen. Things that they can't see, taste, yes, smell, or touch. Amen. Into another realm where God can bring them into union with Himself. Where God reveals His presence to them. That's what Jesus was doing there. He was the Son of Man, God and man united. And we are promised in the last days, the same Son of Man was to be revealed again. And the same power was to be demonstrated again, to bring the same ministry back. So He as Alpha will become Omega. He as the foundation stone will become the headstone. Amen. And right there, when it was being revealed, it was the kingdom being revealed. No wonder He says, when you see the Son of Man coming to heaven in a cloud upon the glory, look up, your redemption there, draw it now, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. He says it's coming from negative to positive. Amen. What is the word being made power, friend? The word being made power. Listen to this quickly, oneness. He said, listen closely. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is his word made power. If you want to put that down, 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is God's word made power. What is the kingdom of God? It's within you. The kingdom in you. And when the word comes in there, what does this word begin? It turns itself into power, making it say just exactly what it said. Here was the all-powerful one came down, the omnipotent God, Revelation 10. We could not have had this message without his coming. His coming brought this message. This message is revealing him coming. The Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout. The only power there is real power was coming. The only real God was coming. The only real word was coming. The only real life was coming. What else is to come, my brother, my sister? Nothing. It's all here. It wasn't part of him. It was all of him. The entire person that came in this day. It's just we have to keep walking into more of him. Submitting and yielding and emptying out to receive more of him into us. Why should there be weak believers? Why should there be a weak church? Why should there be no leadership when the divine leader is come? The only one that could lead you. This one that's coming to Revelation 10 could lead you back to Eden. Lead you into immortality. Hallelujah! He knows the way. He is the way. He is the only truth. He's the only life. Amen. He has talked about him. He enjoys that. Amen. When he sees, it excites us to know he's here, how great he is. How great is our God. How great is his word. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, if you only put your trust in me, he can lead you. Amen. Glory be to God. He made a way where there is no way tonight. You don't have to worry them problems. He can take care of it. You don't have to worry them situations. He already conquered it. Lord, you never confess what he is, what he has done for you. Oh, hallelujah. The kingdom now is the kingdom of God come upon you. When that captain came with a drawn sword, every enemy was already conquered. Every problem was already solved. Every gate was already possessed. Hallelujah! Because all of them was no match for him. Joshua with his whole army, when he saw he'd been outnumbered and they're coming with iron chariots and everything else, he was scared. And that one of the drones would say, by tomorrow this time, I'll deliver them all up dead into your hands. Hallelujah! On the light, he said, where the gas lamp, where is all electricity, electricity? No, sir! He said, son, stand still. That one pushed upon him, took over his vocal cords and spoke to him. The Creator, greater was the Creator in Joshua that spoke to his own creation. Amen! God and man was united. Under their headship it could be done. And if you have done under the blood of bulls and goats, but in a natural land, how much more in the spiritual promise, in the promised land of the Holy Ghost, under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh my, is what we can open our heart up to. Glory, he keeps his promise as I was with Moses. Didn't I say I shall be with you? Amen.
Yes, sir.
Their salvation, the kingdom, their power.
He was right there amongst them. Amen. Glory, grace. You know Joshua represents grace? The headstone, grace. Moses represented the law, but grace took them over into the place. Grace bringing redemption. Message of redemption and grace. Amen. Glory.
God in his Bible. And in the last days, when that same captain that came to Joshua, was the one who came to Joshua, was that the pillar of fire? Amen. Was that the one who kept them in the way? Yes. Amen. I read a quote that didn't even finish, I'm going to start another one.
Strange when you don't come out of a seminary. Glory! The great warrior Joshua. Message here, 955.
You see, after he was getting in position then, he was to be the greatest military man that has been ever been on the face of the earth. There's never been a general like Joshua. No time, no age, no way has ever been compared with Joshua. I like that. Because Joshua's only a type. In the book of Hebrews, Paul talked about one greater than Joshua, greater than Moses, greater than Aaron, greater than the prophets. Amen.
Because you know what Joshua means? Jehovah Savior. Same name as Jesus. Amen. He's only a type of our Lord Jesus. The word Joshua comes from the word of Jesus, means Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer. And so when he seen this man, what was it? It was the captain. In other words, the leader of the host of Israel. And that leader was none other than Christ himself. And what was he first seen in? A pillar of fire. Now the pillar of fire had become a man. I hope you know what I'm talking about, he says. He had become a man. Joshua alone by himself, see? Just what it was, that pillar of fire that had led them. But that pillar of fire came and say, I am that I am. The pillar of fire was only a veil, because then that pillar of fire turned the night into a pillar of cloud. Moses said, Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. He said, come up in the rock. Put Moses in the cleft, and he passed by. He saw the back part of a man.
Amen! Glory!
For the back part of a man. God said, that's my angel. My name is in him. Don't disturb him. Just obey his voice. He'll bring you to the place prepared for you. And that journey was only a type of this journey. Is that right? Can't you see why I'm happy? Amen. I accept the word of the Lord. Amen! We know who's here. He's our strength. I'm strong this day for war.
Amen! Hallelujah!
Because the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me.
Amen!
Joshua alone by himself. See? Just what it was. That the pillar of fire that had led them as an angel. Here he stood. He called himself the captain of the host. He called himself that, not Joshua. He called himself that. He said, I am now come. He said, you all need a head. You are only a body here. He said, Joshua, you are only the seen leader. Amen. But without the unseen leader, you are nothing. But as I was with Moses, because Moses had an unseen leader, so I will be with you. He said, but Lord, Moses spoke things into existence. That's exactly what I mean, Joshua. Amen. But Lord, nothing could stand before Moses all his life. He said, now you understand what I'm talking about, boy. Amen. So I shall be with you. Glory. He called himself the captain of the host. He was the unseen one. And he's still the captain of the host of the Lord, the unseen one, the invisible one. The omnipotent one here tonight, just as real as he was standing there against the walls of Jericho, the same Lord Jesus. A figurative type, of course. He was Melchizedek that met Abraham many, many hundred years before.
Hallelujah!
He was Melchizedek who had met Abraham many, many years before. I just thought, we are not Trinitarians. We believe in one God. He's everything to me.
Amen.
He's my rock, my sword, my shield. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You have no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no end of life. You know, it's amazing to hear some of these great, great learned theologians in the man age. They're trying to figure out Melchizedek. They say, well, he's a priest. He's a priesthood. They say, well, he's a king from right or wrong, yeah, from Jerusalem. And they couldn't figure it out. You see, two kings came to meet Abraham after the battle. But what Genesis didn't say was one was seen and one was unseen. But Paul, he knows one was unseen. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Glory! Joshua, after seeing that God would open up the Red Sea, he said, that settled it for me. God opened up the Red Sea. Before they left Egypt, the Lord, in the form of the big pillar of fire, was rolling over the top of Moses standing there.
Isn't that wonderful how he says that? He is one who had the same thing. He said, before they left Egypt, that pillar of fire whirling over the top of Moses standing there.
He said, I will send my angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place where I prepared. Beware of him, provoke him not, for my name is in him. Can you see it? Sure, it was Christ, the anointed, my name is in him. Joshua seen him there like a man with his sword drawn. And we see him today as a sin offering for sin. And then resurrected Emmanuel, sitting in the right hand of his majesty on high, making intercessions and bringing to pass anything that we confess that he has done for us. Oh, blessed be his name. I feel like I could run over a troop and leap over a wall right now. So listen about this kingdom of God quickly as we close. You can't say it's this and it is this. You don't want the kingdom of God. Now it's come, the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's come upon you. Revelation 12 says, in the last days, there's war in heaven. And that war, Lucifer, was cast down. He and his angels, they lost the battle. There was one who prevailed. Bible says, they fought, but they prevailed not. The place was no more found in heaven. Jesus in Luke 10, it says, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. John in Revelation 9, 1 says, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Isaiah 14 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou fallen? Because thou hast said in thine heart, I will be like God. Is that right?
Amen.
But look here. He had come down on the earth. He and all his fallen angels. And the battle dropped from the realm of spirit and it come down in the human mind. Come down in the realm of human beings. And God himself, in the appointed time, had condescended to down in the stream of humans and walk as a man. Great out controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was made manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached of the Gentiles, justified, received up in the spirit. Is that right? Glory! In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And while he came walking there, he was still, he saw them demons, and he knew it was hiding. He found him in a man who wanted to praise God and was dumb.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
He saw them religious Pharisees who was claiming that they were his representatives, but he knew they were the father of the devil.
Yeah.
And he's going to make an open show of them. Because this man stood there dumb and he couldn't do nothing for him. And he broke the paw of them by the finger, just by his finger. Glory! Get devil. Amen. The man spoke. He was astonished. And he goes right into a parable. And I can see the prophetic mind of a prophetic God. Looking way down to them Pharisees and the devil right there in the unseen realm. Knowing, oh God, he has come. This is the one who cast me out of heaven. He's come behind me. He's trailing me. Amen. One time he's walking, coming. I said, walking, coming. And you're, oh, what have we to do with thee, Jesus? You come to cast us out before time. You want to say, let's go into swine. Please don't tell us in the deep. Hold your peace and come out. Hallelujah. Walking, coming. Glory be to God. When Satan saw him, Satan knew. That was the word incarnate. That was no little carpenter. That's what the Pharisees were seeing because they had no revelation. Amen. And Satan realized what was happening. And Jesus, knowing that that devil was right there, he began to speak to them Pharisees. This is Satan, cast out Satan, his kingdom is divided. Hallelujah. He stripped the right and showed Satan cannot cast out Satan. And then he comes right back though. He says, and if a house be divided against him, it shall fall. I could imagine how the devil tremble. Amen. Because he knows, oh, I'm building my house. But he's building his house upon sand. He's the foolish man who built his house in the sand. But Christ is the wise man who built his house upon a rock. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because in this hour, when the great showdown comes, and he sees as it comes to its climax in this age, when that Revelation 9, I don't have time to go to it, but I just throw some scriptures here. Revelation 9, when that king of the bottomless pit, amen, comes out with his army, with his one-third, and he goes to war with that other king who comes with two-thirds, who's come riding out to heaven. Glory! The battle is going to be hot and heavy. Amen. They are going to meet on the battlegrounds again, Michael and Lucifer, in the last days. Glory. And look at Lucifer, he was trying all day to come into flesh. But there was the very age when the Holy Ghost was going to come into flesh too. Is that right? Yes. Jesus was planting the seed. Yes. Amen. He said, I saw and fought to sow the seed. He was planting himself. Amen. By spiritual reproduction, you're laying seed in, knowing the Holy Ghost is going to come to water that seed, that God who was with them will come in them. Amen. Hallelujah! I'll be with you and in you. I must go that the comforter can come. Amen. Glory! Did he say it?
Yes.
The promise. He was going to come inside of them. Because, well, look, when God made flesh, was Satan made flesh too? Luke 22, it says, and Satan entered into Judas. And here was God in flesh and Satan in flesh. Here was the son of God and the son of perdition. Is that right?
Yeah.
Judas was the son of perdition. Jesus said that. Father, I pray for them. He said, I'll lose none save only the son of perdition. Glory. And both of us in flesh. Then when Jesus died on a tree, Judas died on a tree. He hung himself. Is that right? But Jesus laid his life down for our sin. Hallelujah! Glory! When the Holy Ghost came back on the church in Acts 2. Amen. Look in Revelation 2, the Antichrist spirit had come back too. Is that right? John said, Antichrist, many Antichrist. The Antichrist are already in the world. Many false prophets are already gone out there. Glory be to God. Under that first seal, Revelation 6, there's a white horse rider going forth. Going forth conquering and to conquer. But when he went forth, there's a lion spirit. Here's the Antichrist and the Holy Ghost, side by side, coming down through the ages. Amen. But in these last days, while Lucifer has built his kingdom, and this last age he's uniting his kingdom, bringing his religion together, bringing his politics together, bringing his businesses together, bringing all his different armies and everything together, uniting his kingdom upon the face of the earth, yet it is divided. And it shall fall. But God is not bringing that kind of, God is not uniting his kingdom on the principles that the devil is uniting his own, through politics and compromise and all kind of schemes and these things. But he said, if any man don't hate mother and father, brother and sister, forsake all, pick up his cross and follow me daily, cannot be my disciple. He's calling men and women to die to themselves by a new birth. Amen. They can come into union with him.
Amen. Real union where he become their head. You know, a servant, a slave, in other words, in the true translation, to sin. But now they just change masters. They were a slave to sin, now they become a slave to righteousness. Now they become a love slave. Amen. Glory. Amen. One who they belong to until death. Amen. The cords can't be broken except death. And since they want to serve the eternal and they have eternal life too by the new birth, then those cords can never be broken. They'll always, forever remain a love slave to him. Time is up. I just can't stop. Amen. It's now getting to be so real. You see, I want you to feel it. I want you to get on your heart. I want you to pick it and feed on it. I want you to experience the reality of what we're talking about. And you can know that now, friend, under this word, under this coming, under this descent, under the breaking of the seventh seal, is coming salvation in its fullness. Because this message comes to bring a new body. That in all the other ages, they were sealed until their redemption, but their bodies saw corruption. But in this age, corruption will put on incorruption. Mortal will put on. You say, how do you know this age? Enoch descended from Adam. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Walk with God and was not, because he was translated. Type in that seventh church age from the second Adam. Read back in the evening time. The same beast that she watered, Packer, to meet the unseen bridegroom. She met him. Amen. Midway, and then he took her to their father's house. Glory! Melchizedek, after the battles of life was over, after the battles fought and the victory was won, gave Abraham communion. Amen. Took him to the wedding supper. Can't you see? It's this age for you. When the Son of Man is revealed, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when Abraham and Sarah came back young. So there's going to be a people who will pass from death unto life. They'll pass from old age back to youth. Amen! Glory! Why? Is this our friend? It's already laid in the Bible. Showing and speaking of a day. And here when it's been revealed and being made plain, the grace of Almighty God in his great love and kindness, let some of the despised of this age, the weak ones of this age, the one that look foolish in the eyes of the wise of this age, come in by his grace to fellowship with these things. To put this promise in their heart. To give them this great joy, unspeakable, that he who having not yet seen will love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let us lift our hands and praise him. Oh God, we praise you. Now is come salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power that is here. It's not so much an explanation, but it's a revelation. It's a manifestation of the one that we are speaking of. I pray you will manifest yourself in the lives of the hungry tonight, the lives of them that are thirsty. You will be the bread. You will be the water, oh God, that they will never hunger and they will never thirst again. Oh God, that they will enter into this great redeeming love, this great satisfying portion. Lord God, when the old things will pass away, I pray tonight, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God that is present here, that has spoken to us, will now in their hearts write and engrave it with an iron pen, dear God. It'll be so real, Lord, they will never able to be the same again. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor tonight, Lord. Let your deliverance go to work. Let the salvation go into effect, Lord. Let your power be made manifest, Lord. Oh, how we love you. How we praise you. How we adore you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, point that drone sword to every devil. Let them get scared and flee away. Let them leave your children, oh God. Let them walk out of their prisons. Let them change fall off. Let them go to rejoicing. Give them the victory, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you. Oh, by faith, I see the victory ahead. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, amen. Praise his wonderful name. Give him glory, children. Worship him, amen. Tell him of his greatness. Hallelujah. Express it back as the Spirit quickened to you to give your mouth to praise him. Oh, like Paul and Silas, political powers. Amen. All the powers of frustration, all the violence that they did them, all the harm that they tried to afflict them with, to break the spirit, they couldn't do it. They sang the praises of God. Hallelujah! Oh, they shook the foundations of hell. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart tonight. Glory. You'll take your stand for his word. You'll serve him. You'll live for him. Glory. Cast off all reason tonight. Pull down every stronghold, all imaginations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be his name. He is worthy, isn't he, tonight? He is worthy. He is wonderful, wonderful. Let's sing that wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Oh, his name is wonderful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Prince of Peace, mighty God, save and easy. Jesus to me, Council of the Prince of Peace, mighty God in peace, saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful. Oh, sing it again. Oh, wonderful.
What a salvation for rich and free. What a deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Oh, we give you glory and honor tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, there is victory tonight. There's power in that name, friends. That salvation is here for all who need deliverance. Amen. Jehovah Savior, the one with a drawn sword, our Joshua, who is coming the captain tonight. The fear and dread of our enemies. The kingdom of God has come upon them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Fear that little flock is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Unto them is parables, but unto you, he's revealing the mysteries of that kingdom to give you the faith, to make you part of that kingdom. Amen. To bring you under your eternal king. Then you can worship your eternal king. Amen. You can walk with the king. Amen. Every day you can walk with your king. Blessed be his name. Victory ahead. And as we sing it with faith. I like the part, I don't know why, but I hear the part that says, I hear the conqueror's tread. You see, he's unseen. And the air is listening for him. And say, he's here. I hear the conqueror's tread. Oh my, that mighty conqueror, the one that drawn sword. I know he's in the camp tonight to break every chain, open every prison door, solve every problem, meet every need tonight. Whatever the situation is, whatever the battle is, he's here to give you victory tonight. Amen. By faith, see it. David had his battle. Samson had his battle. Jehoshaphat had his battle. Abraham had his battle. Jesus had his battle. Paul had his battle. Luke had his battle. Amen. We have our battle tonight. But it's still that same one. Amen. He had to give us victory tonight. The same word, friend. Glory be to God in the highest. Overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, just trust. I hear. Oh, yes. By faith. Oh, when the horse of Israel, led by that unseen captain, run the walls. Oh, softly turn. What a confidence! Just trust and believe in. By faith. The way. Oh,
trusting in the Lord.
He did not fear dread.
For battle. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows to my veins. Oh, yes. Proudly displaying that blood, that's a soul, yes. Marching in step to the song of the gospel. Displaying the token, the message of this hour. As you go tonight, going on to your home, you came in the house of God with a purpose. You came to hear from God. You sat under the sound of the gospel. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Take that faith into your heart. What is the kingdom of God? His word made power in your life. That's the oneness that is coming up to pass in the lives of believers in this hour. What is it for? That you can possess the gates of your enemies. That you can be an overcomer in this age.
To him that overcome will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down in my Father's throne. Oh, my children. And as you go, let the Holy Spirit seal up those words in your heart. We're under prayer and meditation, under fellowship in the Spirit. God will take it and make it real. Endue you with virtue. That out of your virtue can come forth knowledge and temperance. That a man who striveth after the master can be temperate in all things. And patience. That you be entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Knowing the testing of your faith, work at patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. Amen. And godliness. To be like Jesus. Amen. To be a warrior like he was. To fight like he fought. To obey every word like he obeyed every word. To overcome like he overcame. Oh, what an experience, friend. And brotherly kindness and charity. Oh, my. Almighty God, we commit this audience into your hands tonight. We are so grateful for your presence and the blessing you bless us with tonight. Only thou knowest how you spoke to each and every one of us individually. Deep down in our hearts, dear God, because we desire to walk close to you. We desire to please you. We crave to see your word become a living reality in our lives, showing forth your resurrection in this hour. Showing forth that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Gracious God, as we would dismiss this audience from this place, we pray that this great August presence, the never failing presence of Jesus Christ, our mighty conqueror, would go with each and every one tonight, every soldier. They will endure hardness as a good soldier, and they will war a good warfare. They will not be entangled in the affairs of this life. They will not strive as one that beat at the air. God, may we be mindful of the weapons of our warfare that cannot. May that inner man be clothed with that unseen armor. You, your own self, is our armor, Father. You are our shield and our buckler. Clothe us. The arm of your revealed word, a battle of the Holy Spirit. Take us safe to our destination. Be with us in our homes, out in our jobs. Bless all that is gathered here, all that is connected with them, dear God. Bless all the workers in this assembly. Bless all the families it's representing. Bless all that is designed hanging for righteousness. They will be filled, Lord. Even the strangers and visitors within our gates tonight. Dear God, they would desire to hear more and to walk closer. To come into this great experience you are giving to the elect of this hour. Preparing them and making them ready for your coming by this revealed end time message. And you promise to restore the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Knowing there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I pray, dear God, this great grace would bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight. And they with open hearts would want to receive it and walk in it. Grant it, Father. The Lord should return our lost life. On Sunday morning, we'd come to worship you. But on Friday night, how we want to come, Lord, and pray. Praying always with all supplication in the Spirit. It's part of our instruction. In this warfare. So we pray that we find ourselves in our positions, trying to come in early, receive instructions to pray, and praying according to the revealed will of God, not praying amiss. But dear God, under the inspiration and the revelation of your word being ministered to us, showing us the hour and what you are working to achieve at this present time.
We love you and appreciate you. We commit all into your hands. We thank you for all the blessings you received tonight. We purpose in our hearts to go forth and live for thee and be better representatives of thy kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Oh yes, oh yes, yes. Oh yes. God bless you. We are dismissed.